how I embraced faith in Christ, from agnosticism through the influence of the music of Switchfoot, the writings of C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald.
Welcome to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm your host, William O'Flaherty, the author of an extended study guide to the Screwtape Letters, and also a book called The Misquotable C.S. Lewis that warns of things Lewis didn't say. I'll tell you more about those books at the end of today's show. With me is Justin Wiggins, author of Surprised by Agape, A Personal Journey. As you can probably tell from the subtitle, this book, which is rather short, is more autobiographical in nature, but more about that in a moment. Let's go ahead and welcome my guest for this special edition podcast. It's good to have you on the show, Justin.
Hello, William. It is good to be on your podcast for this interview for my book, Surprised by Agape. I sincerely appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, glad to have you here. And let's start here. I suggested your book, which is autobiographical, but that's not all that it is per se. So let's approach the issue this way. What is your book and why did you write it?
So Surprised by Agape is an autobiographical book about how I embraced faith in Christ, from agnosticism through the influence of the music of Switchfoot, the writings of C.S. Lewis and George MacDonald, how I found a passion for literature and writing, how I survived dark seasons of depression, suicide, how my faith in the goodness and love in the Creator was strengthened, and how powerful and universal artistic mediums are, such as music, literature, painting, and other different art forms. The reason that I wrote this book, well, the number one reason is because I wanted to glorify Christ for how good and loving he has been to me. And I also wanted to write this book because I wanted to write an honest account of how I made it through the most painful experiences in my life and why I embraced faith. And I would also say another reason that I wrote it is to express my gratitude to C.S. Lewis, George MacDonald, and the band Switchfoot for their impact on my life.
Well, now, for those who are familiar with you, they may know already that you just finished your undergraduate studies, but you're not that young as your typical college student. You're in your late 20s now, but obviously being so young, you have much to learn in life. However, 1 Timothy 4:12 reminds us that the youth should not be ignored. And in light of that, go into some detail about what you hope someone who doesn't consider themselves a Christian might gain from reading your book.
Although when people read my book, they will see that it is partly a conversion story from agnosticism to Christianity. But I also wrote my book in a way where people of different worldviews could read and resonate within the context of their own experience. And I would hope that people, whether they are atheist, agnostic, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Jew, pagan, Christian, or just simply spiritual, would be able to read it and perhaps be moved by it. Perhaps they would find something encouraging in it, and that it would resonate with them, as is the case with music and film and poetry and different genres of literature. It really has this unique way of bringing down the barriers of politics, social status, and religion, and bringing people together. And that's one of the most powerful things to me about literature and art.
Now, we'll talk in a moment about the influence of C.S. Lewis, but say some more first about the influence of music in your life.
So, yes, I discovered the music of Switchfoot when I was a teenager. I remember hearing their song Meant to Live at a very small county fair, and I was moved by it. I liked the sound of it, and from that point, I started listening to more of their songs. I started reading interviews with them online. I eventually had the honor to see them live back in 2007, ancient days, no, I'm kidding, in 2007 with another band, Reliant K, on their, they were on a Habitat for Humanity tour. And what really stood out to me about Switchfoot is that they said they make music for thinking people, and they seem to transcend this sacred, secular, either or, And that to me was really unique because I grew up hearing a lot of the Christian contemporary music. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. And I know many people find that sort of music moving. But for me, what was really unique to me about Switchfoot is they just, as Christians in a rock band, they made music for people of different worldviews. So that's how their music had a profound impact on my life, and it opened up the doors for faith perhaps being a virtue rather than a delusion or a human fabrication. And how I discovered Lewis's writings through their music was, in particular, their song This Is Home that they wrote for the Prince Caspian movie. And John referenced Lewis, and I had no idea who he was, which is comical now because many people associate me with him, and he's my literary hero and favorite writer. And so I got a copy of the Chronicles of Narnia, and in particular, it was the creation story in The Magician's Nephew. That was my first spiritual experience that I actually ever remember having, and I was 18 at the time, and I still remember the very day and the very hour. And I liken that experience to Lewis's reading of George MacDonald's Fantast when he was a young atheist, 16 years old, and he picks it up by accident. And as you know, as he says in Surprised by Joy, it baptized his imagination. And so from that point, I got a copy of Mere Christianity, and I was absolutely amazed at the way Lewis, in his own unique way, brought together reason and faith, imagination and personal experience. It was incredible. And it was that reading that book was revolutionary for me. And it certainly played a huge role in my conversion. And from that point, I read anything by him I could get my hands on, whether if it's his literary criticism, his poetry, his letters, his fiction, theological works. I found it all very spiritually nourishing.
Well, now you were speaking just about the Chronicles of Narnia. I wonder if you could tell us some more. I know in your book that you do mention it, but how did the Chronicles of Narnia impact your life?
Oh, great question. So I still have my copy of all 7 books that are in one volume that I got about 10 years ago at a Barnes & Noble in Greenville, North Carolina. And reading those stories as an agnostic made Christianity to me very attractive. And I really loved the way that Lewis brought together all of these elements from Greek, Roman, Celtic, and Norse mythology with Christian themes or symbolism, not allegory, as you know, as he plainly stated. And in particular, it was the creation story in The Magician's Nephew that helped me understand why myth and storytelling has been important to us since the beginning. And also, when I read that, I finally realized why Jesus of Nazareth told parables in the first century to communicate things about the kingdom of heaven to the freaks and the poor and the outcast and the broken and the rich, whoever that came to him. And so all of those things came together for me just by reading those books, and in particular the creation story in The Magician's Nephew.
Oh, very interesting. Well, now, some who read your book might be surprised about how little you actually go into details about your struggles, even though you do mention about having attempted suicide. First, why did you not go into more detail? And then second, give us a preview of what you do share.
So when I was writing it, I was trying to capture what that painful, traumatic time in my life was like personally. And of course, it was not easy to write about, and it's not easy to talk about. And so to some degree, in my own voice, I tried to capture what that hellish experience was like, and I wanted to capture what that dark night of the soul was, and at the root of it was father abandonment issues, and it caused me to flop out of East Carolina University. And so, yeah, it was quite a challenge trying to know how to write about it in a way where it was personal, but also where it didn't go into every detail, of course. And what is interesting to me is looking back on that experience, I would not be where I'm at in my life right now. Out of all of that pain and trauma, I ended up coming to Montreat College here in the mountains of North Carolina. I was able to meet yourself at the first Inklings retreat that I came to here in 2015, and I was able to meet Dr. Don King, who became a very good mentor and a very good friend. Other scholars like Colin Duryea, Jerry Root from Wheaton College in Illinois, Mr. Joseph Pierce, and one of the most meaningful experiences was getting to meet my Scottish friend David Jack on a very cold, snowy St. Patrick's Day on the Oxford, England trip my last semester before I graduated with my bachelor's in literature. And also, it was an honor to get to meet Lewis's stepson, Douglas Cresham, who came for a conference here in Black Mountain, actually April of 2017. So all of these experiences I absolutely marvel at, and it's incredible how you can see the broken things in your life being redeemed by Christ. All of it strengthened my faith and gave me a greater passion for life, greater passion for pursuing literature, for loving people of all worldviews. And a verse that comes to my mind that describes that is, by his wounds we are healed. That certainly rings true in my own life, as it does for many other people.
Well, now, in terms of what you do write about Lewis, you explain several books that have meant the most. First, you explain Agape Love in the writings of C.S. Lewis. So give us a taste of what you share in your book.
In the part of the book where I delved into the theme of agape love in his writings, I looked at four in particular. One is Mere Christianity, The Four Loves, George MacDonald, An Anthology, and A Grief Observed. For a really good example would be The Four Loves. You have the four Greek words for love, philia for friendship, eros for romantic love, storge for affection, and charity for agape love. And the way Lewis wrote about the human experience of those loves and how they all in their own way reflect the glory and goodness of the Creator was really unique to me. In his book Mere Christianity, at the center of it is the agape love of Christ, because as you know, that agape love changed his life in 1931, before he had the burning ambition of wanting to be a great poet and had written Spirits in Bondage after he had served in World War One, and eventually he finished Dimer. But he actually ended up losing all interest in himself after his conversion and ends up being very prolific in influences many people's lives in a really profound way. In regard to George MacDonald and Anthology, he wrote that to express his debt and gratitude to the Scottish writer George MacDonald. I don't know if Lewis read all of MacDonald's books, but he called MacDonald his master and wrote him as a character in The Great Divorce, and highly recommended his books to many of his readers that would send him letters in the mail. In regard to A Grief Observed, that is his most honest work, I believe. It's very difficult to read. It's hopeful towards the end, and the pain and trauma that he went through after losing his brilliant writer wife, Joy Davidman, and how he grieved for her, and how the agape love of Christ sustained him through that most painful time in his life, really, I think, speaks volumes about his character and how he experienced love and loss through that relationship. So those were four favorite books of mine that I included in that chapter, and it brought me a lot of joy to delve into the theme of agape love in those writings and how agape love was reflected in Lewis's life. One good example of that is his agape fund that he had established by his friend and fellow Inkling, Owen Barfield, who was a lawyer, and most of Lewis's incomes went to widows and orphans. And to me, that's just amazing that he would do that for so many people. And he just lived very simply. You know, he's a man of habit and really loved people, and he really loved Christ.
Next, then, in your book, you discuss four other books from Lewis under the heading of The Power and Universality of Art. Could you summarize a few of your thoughts from this section of your book?
Oh, yes. So in this section of the book, I began it with a really powerful quote from John Foreman of Switchfoot that he says in their film Fading West, where he says that C.S. Lewis says that fiction is able to sneak past the watchful dragons of religion. And that was just amazing. So the German word is Sehnsucht, and it is that yearning and longing that Lewis called joy. And in Surprised by Joy, he tried to capture how that joy, which was roused by the landscape of England and Ireland, the Norse and the Celtic myths, the works of George MacDonald and Beatrix Potter, William Morris, William Butler Yeats, the friendships that he had, and how he marveled at the power of language. And for myself, why I included Surprised by Joy, Perelandra, The Weight of Glory, and Till We Have Faces in the book is, in my view, it's at the center of all of those works in their own unique way. And it was a joy to write about those works and examining that theme in the books. Why I called that part of my book The Power and Universality of Art is because in different artistic mediums, in whether it's, you know, music or poetry or literature, and all of these myths and legends, there seems to be this that cannot be explained away in a scientific, materialistic worldview, as neither can love or friendship or the most important things in life. All of these things in Lewis's life and in other people's lives that perhaps allowed him to have this really interesting spiritual experience is universal. And for the way Lewis viewed it and the way he helped me to view it is, for example, with the dying and rising God stories and all the pre-Christian religions and how they all came true in the person of Christ, those myths that roused that longing eventually led him to the true Messiah and King that all of these stories embodied in an archetype. And as you know, Hugo Dyson and J.R.R. Tolkien on a very late night pointed that out to him. And so I included those, and as you know, that was revolutionary in his life, how he viewed Christianity as the true myth, the myth that became fact in his essay, which is one of my favorites. And so I loved how he wrote about that in Perelandra when Ransom takes the journey to Venus, in The Weight of Glory, the sermon that he gave, and at St. Mary the Virgin's in 1941, and Till We Have Faces when Psyche is explaining to Oriole her mystical experience that she has had and with her encounter with the God of the Mountain. It was all very moving to me. And for myself personally, what has roused that yearning and longing is the season of autumn, the music of Enya, Lorena McKennitt, Howard Shore's music from the Lord of the Rings soundtracks, the friendships that I have, certain memories that really stand out to me, personal experience of beauty and love and joy, the landscape of Oxford, England, and the landscape of North Carolina. For me, all of those things rouse that zens of that joy that points to something outside of myself.
Oh, very good. Well, as we're coming near a close here, let's go ahead and have you tell how people can go about to purchase your book.
Surprised by Agape is available on clarendonhousebooks.com/library/shop. The paperback version is, and there is a Kindle version on Amazon. And I am very thankful for all of the people that have purchased a copy for telling me their thoughts on it. All the pictures on Facebook and Instagram, it really means a lot to me. I wanted to say I'm very thankful to Mr. Grant Hudson for making this dream of mine come true, who's the president of Clarendon House Publications in Sheffield, England, to Dr. Don King, who's been a very good mentor and a very good friend, and a professor here of English literature at Montreat College. Also to my Scottish friend, David Jack, who translates the Scottish novels of George MacDonald into English. I highly recommend his translations that he has published. Robert Faulkner has been the first one. The second one has been Castle Warlock, which was actually endorsed by Douglas Gresham. And the third, which is in progress, is Sir Gibby. I also want to say thanks to Miss Carolyn Curtis for her endorsement. She is the editor of Women and C.S. Lewis, and it was also a delight to meet her when I first came to Montreat in 2015. And I also want to say thank you to the community of people that has supported me and that has been moved by Surprised by Agape. I'm very thankful.
Well, very good. Well, now, finally, let's close by having you give a summary or maybe a final pitch about why someone should consider buying your book, which is again called Surprised by Agape.
So writing Surprised by Agape took many years. It was a labor of love, and it was a great life accomplishment that I was very thankful to achieve. And I believe that if people were to order a copy, that they would be moved by it. They would find something meaningful in it that can resonate with their own life narrative, as is the case with music and film and literature and poetry, paintings. We are all moved by particular works of art for particular reasons. And it has been an absolute honor for me to have heard from all the different people about what Surprised by Agape has meant to them. I'm very thankful, and all the glory to Christ.
Ah, very good. Well, Justin, thank you again for being on All About Jack.
Thank you, William. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Justin Wiggins and that you will consider getting a copy of his book, Surprised by Agape. There are direct links in the show notes to purchase it. Again, you've been listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty. You can get those show notes at EssentialCSLewis.com and look for this episode, but it might be easier to locate those notes where the audio files are hosted at allaboutjack.podbean.com. Again, that's allaboutjack.podbean.com. Podbean is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N. At either location, you can find various podcast shows that are typically interviews with authors of books about Lewis. I've also done an occasional series about a specific Lewis essay and a special series on why read Lewis, among other special topics. There are a variety of ways to listen to All About Jack. One is via iTunes. If you don't know how to do that, then check the show notes for a direct link, plus consider rating my podcast there. Before ending, let me also remind you about two books I've written. The most recent is The Misquotable C.S. Lewis. It explores 75 quotations I've researched that may or may not be from him and explains why you should be careful to confirm a quote credited to him until you know he really said it. It also reveals the closest things Lewis said related to the questionable saying
I examined when it wasn't by him. I've also written an enhanced study guide to the Screwtape Letters. It's called C.S. Lewis Goes to Hell. You can learn more about that book by visiting ScrewtapeCompanion.com. There you can get an immediate download of a free 20-page PDF sample of that book. Again, that's ScrewtapeCompanion.com. Purchasing either of my books is a great way to indirectly support this podcast and make sure it remains freely available. Another way to help is by following a special link in my show notes when purchasing something from Amazon.com. Finally, thank you again for listening to All About Jack, a podcast feature of EssentialCSLewis.com. I'm William O'Flaherty.